Well, thank you. Well, I only have one quick joke here. Who was the largest knight at the Round Table, King Arthur's Round Table? It was Circumference. And he obtained his great weight by eating too much pie. P-I, that's a ratio of the diameter of a circle to the circumference of a circle. So I'm sure you needed all of that information. Okay. Anyway, we're all here to bring a gift. And some have thought my gift was being a stand-up comedian, but I decided to relinquish that. But no, we all have a gift, or many gifts, actually. But I think we all have a primary gift, a gift of presence, a gift with a capital G. And, you know, it's been my experience, until we actually connect up with that gift, kind of a vertical connection with that primary gift, we're not really going to be able to discover all of the other wonderful gifts that we have to bring into the realm of form. All of our talents, all of our abilities, our artistic abilities, these, yes, we'll maybe discover something of that, but the fullness of these other abilities, I don't think will really be discovered until we realize that primary gift of presence. And that is the essential gift that each one of us came to give. We all have that gift of presence. Just by being present here, we are bringing that gift. We don't have to really do anything but just be who we are. And we don't need to try to figure out that gift with our minds, not as though we reject the input of the mind and think that it doesn't have anything to offer us, but it's been a kind of a heart experience mainly. I was led by spirit, I was led by my heart to begin to discover the primary gift that I had to bring on earth. And kind of at the risk of boring those who were at the men's meeting when I told this story, and I also told it in the pre-service meeting, but it sometimes takes a rather earth-shattering event in order for one to actually begin to discover the gift that one really has to bring on earth. At the tender age of 12, I suddenly had the realization, and it was right in the middle of a service of worship at the First Presbyterian Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, I knew why I was on earth. I mean, something was calling to me from the depths of my heart. And it said, you are on earth to serve God and to help God serve humanity, serve the world, bring salvation to the world. And so I kind of knew that that was my gift, that I had to pursue that as my purpose in life. And I initially thought that that would require me to be a minister of the gospel. So I embarked on a period of study. My whole life, pretty much to that point on, was devoted to preparing myself for the ministry. And I ended up at Princeton Theological Seminary, and I studied 3 years there for the ministry. And I, after graduation, I took a trip around the country, and I was preaching to various churches in the hopes that one of these churches would invite me to be its minister, its pastor. And I finally found a church in, of all places, Tacoma, Washington, a small church that was willing to have me as its minister. But first I had to be ordained to the ministry, and that required me to go back to my home church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and to appear before a committee of ministers. This committee had been sponsoring my candidacy for the ministry. And so I went before this committee. I thought that, you know, ordination would be just a mere formality. It would be a picnic. So I went before the committee, and the chairman of the committee spoke these words. "Jerry, we feel after long consideration of your case that we cannot offer you ordination. We feel you are psychologically unfit for the ministry." Those were his exact words. "You are psychologically unfit for the ministry." And you can imagine how that hit me. I mean, it was just an earth-shattering experience. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, like just a hammer below, because all of my life, virtually up to that point, had been devoted to preparing myself for the ministry. And to suddenly just have that jerked out from under me, well, I didn't know what to do. And initially, I was just devastated. I was very angry, of course, as you might imagine. But I was just, for several weeks, I was kind of just wandering around in a daze. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what my life was calling me to do. And then after a lot of heart searching, I began to realize, it began to dawn on me, maybe it's not as though I am psychologically unfit for the ministry. Possibly the church is psychologically unfit and spiritually unfit for the kind of gift that I have to offer. Hey! So that really began to free me up. And I began to explore my own ministry apart from the established church. I got involved as Bob Ewing knows, I got involved in ministering to New Left Radicals and Women's Liberation and the Black Panthers and draft resistors and just all kinds of social misfits. I began to minister these people. They didn't even know that I was really ministering to them, but I was just being there and offering a blessing to them and helping them in any way that I could. And I found this was really freeing me up and helping me to begin to discover the gift that I was intended to offer. I began to discover that I was here simply to be a blessing, to offer the blessing from my presence, from that great gift, that supreme gift with a capital G that I am here to offer. And after a series of amazingly serendipitous events, I was finally brought into contact with a man by the name of George Emery, and then from there into contact with a place called Sunrise Ranch. And I discovered people who were open to the same process that I was open to. They were opening to bringing that kind of a blessing, bringing that kind of a gift in the same way that I was beginning to discover that I was here to offer. They were totally open to the gift that I wanted to offer. And so I found a community that I was very comfortable in. But it, of course, was very challenging as well, because it brought me to point. I had to continue to offer that blessing. I could not just kind of relax and ride on the laurels of the community and just kind of ride on the coattails of the group here. I had to be right in the midst offering my gift and assuming my own leadership role here in offering that gift. And so it is to this day that I am required, if I am to be a responsible part of this community, I have to continue to bring that gift constantly. I see it as just bringing the gift of blessing. I seek to bless everything that comes to me during the course of a day. For example, The moment I get up, I say, behold, I make all things new. I would bless everything that comes to me this day, O Lord, in thy name. And then when I go outside, I look over Eden Valley and I say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I give thanks for the gift of life, for the privilege of being a blessing in this community this day, and of offering service in whatever way I can to this community. And then I just go through the day offering that blessing. No matter what comes to me, there is nothing that could come to me, no matter how disturbing it might seem to be, that I am incapable of offering a blessing into it. It all goes back to a service that I heard clear back. It was in this very room in November of 1972, given by Martin Cecil. It was called Bless Your Circumstance. And he said, no matter what circumstance comes to you, it doesn't matter what it is, there is no circumstance that can come to you that you cannot offer a blessing into it. And that is the primary service that you are here to offer on earth. That is the blessing that you are here to offer. And if you are consistently giving out that blessing in your circumstance, you are doing everything that you are called to do here on earth. It's so simple. You don't need to do anything else on earth but to give forth that blessing continually, and you will be fulfilling your spiritual calling, your spiritual commission on earth. And after those words, well, I took him at his word, and I have sought to do that. And I think that's really what we're all called to do here in the Sunrise Ranch community, is to just be a blessing, to bless everything that comes to us. You see me walking around the ranch, blessing the trees. I feel that touching a tree actually intensifies that blessing. It brings forth that energy in you, and that also allows the tree to receive the blessing, but you receive a blessing back from the tree. And so everything, of course, the people that come into the mail room, wow, what an opportunity to bless people that come to get their packages. They think that, I'm not receiving a blessing from them. I'm giving a blessing to them, but I'm receiving a blessing from them just by their presence. They come in just with that gift of their presence, and I thank them for coming in. Even though they're thanking me for getting their package, I'm thanking them for simply coming to the window of the mailroom and allowing me to give them that blessing. Well, I could go on and on with all the blessings that I have opportunity to give in a day, and I think you feel it coming forth from me right now, just standing before each one of you and feeling the blessing that's coming from you and the blessing that I have to give forth back to you. We live in a kind of a culture of blessing here, so let's keep that culture moving and intensify it in whatever way we can and whatever it takes to bring you to the point of giving that blessing and of giving your gift continually. Let it happen.